Take your Bibles now, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, as we continue our series on the Beatitudes, entitled The Christian Salt and Light Company. Verse 13 of chapter 5 reminds us, those verses, that we are salt and we are light. And so we are looking at the whole thing as a company and what we're trying to accomplish. And tonight, we're going to look at the company meals, something that is important for us to realize what our diet really ought to be. Remember now, the word blessed means fulfilled or happy. And in any circumstance, we can be fulfilled and we can be happy in the Lord. Doesn't matter what it is. We have to recognize that God has made it possible for all of us to be happy in Him, no matter what we face. And these Beatitudes, keep in mind, are for us today. They're not something for the millennial kingdom or something that's been done away with or for any other particular time, but they are things that we should be practicing today as believers. And they should be true in my life, in your life today. If we're going to be fulfilled and have real joy and real happiness, of course it all starts with getting saved. But then look at verse 6, Matthew 5, 6. Blessed, happy, or fulfilled are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. There's just one verse, but it has a lot of information in it for us to consider tonight. One of the things we need to do, as he points out, is to hunger after righteousness, to hunger after it. Now, that word hunger is an interesting word, and it really means, we might put it this way, crave. Blessed or happy are those that crave righteousness. We crave a lot of things, but I don't know if we always crave the right things. But this means that we have a strong, strong desire. We ought to crave holiness. We ought to crave being like Christ. We ought to desire to be righteous in our life and in our living. And that is something that the advertisement world has learned about a long time ago. They want to make us crave things a lot of times we don't even need. And they know exactly how to do it. What's their job? To make us say, I've got to have that. I want that hamburger. I want that mattress. I've got to have that car. I've got to have that piece of jewelry or whatever it is. You just can't do without it. And so they go into an advertising scheme and they put it on television and the newspaper and everywhere else to try to make you desire and to crave something. Well, that's the idea behind this. Something we ought to desire and crave, and God wants us to have that strong desire. It'll be a desire for a number of different things that we have in our life. One of the main things we always think about, obviously, is eating. The Baptist theme song, God be with you till we eat again. Amen? And that we do a lot of that, but we crave a lot of food. And we crave a lot of different things. Now, they knew something about being hungry there in the Near East during that day, because seldom did they ever have meat, maybe once a week. And most of the time, they were on the very edge of starving to death. So the writer knew what they experienced, and they knew what he meant when he wrote it down. And we should be able to relate to exactly what he's saying about craving something. If you've ever fasted, and I hope that you have, most of us probably have, if for no other reason the doctor told you to at some point in time. But hopefully for spiritual reasons, we fasted. And I'm telling you, if you fast for a period of time, even for just missing three meals, maybe you start at sunset and you fast that night and all the way through until sunset the next day. That would be a typical daily fast that somebody might get involved in. Do you know it's not long until spinach smells good? Amen? And I hate spinach. The only way I can eat it is put vinegar all over it or hot pepper sauce or something like that. But I can tell you, when you fast for a period of time, it's amazing what you can smell from a distance and what smells good that normally didn't smell good. Even cabbage being cooked smells good when you fasted for a while and you're hungry. Your stomach's telling you you need something in it and you want something to eat. You're craving food. A lot of times we are so spoiled, we go out to a restaurant, and if we have to wait 45 minutes, we think we're about to die. You know, especially on Sunday after the preacher preached a little too long, and we finally get to the restaurant, and the Methodists and the Presbyterians have beat us there, and then we got to wait 45 minutes. They say, well, the waiting time is 45 minutes, and we're saying, oh, I just don't know if I can wait that long. We start craving whatever's in that restaurant right then. And that's why we went there to begin with. We wanted that particular kind of food on that particular occasion. But especially when we say we've got to wait 45 minutes, we begin to get even hungrier for that. And so it is that we begin to crave something. Sometimes we crave food, certain kinds of food. There are times that we'll go a long time and I won't eat a pizza, but all of a sudden I'll begin to crave a pizza. I mean, I want the one that's got everything on it. The one that gives you heartburn so you have to stay up late and watch the late news, all of that. And I still want it. If I want it, I want it. I crave it, and I'll get it. Sometimes it's popcorn. How many of you like popcorn? Nothing like the smell of popcorn. You go to these hospitals, and they're always cooking that popcorn in the foyer, the auxiliary group, to raise money. And somehow or another, I usually have to go by and stop and get me some popcorn. We used to have a member that worked down there at one of the hospitals, and every time I'd come by, he'd just have it out there ready for me, and he'd try to pop some fresh if he saw me come in then when I got ready to go. But sometimes I crave that. And you get the idea of the word crave, desire. But I guess the picture that sticks in my mind the most when we're talking about hunger, and he tells us we ought to hunger for righteousness, these would be really nothing compared to seeing the faces of little starving boys and girls that you see on television sometimes when they're trying to raise money for food to feed them. And you look at their little faces and their little stomachs protruded, and they're starving, they're hungry. Let me tell you, they're craving food. And that's the idea behind this word, that you and I, as God's children, if we want to be happy, we need to crave righteousness. We need to be hungry for it. We need to desire it and want it. No wonder Jesus said, I'm the bread of life, amen? And he is the bread of life. Well, not only does he say hunger after righteousness, but he says that we need to thirst after righteousness. Happy, blessed is a person that is hungry for holiness and righteousness, and happy and blessed is a person that is craving, thirsting after righteousness. Again, over in the Near East, they knew what that was. Many of them living in a desert, and they knew that the sands of the desert, when they'd be out there, would be like sandpaper in their throat, and they wanted some water. I've been on the top of Mount Masada, there by the Dead Sea, and they would have about 1 inch, I think it was, 1 or 2 at most, inches of rainfall in the whole year. And amazingly so, on the top of that mountain, they had built aqueducts, waterways that would run down into a holding place, 2 or 3 different places, very primitive, but they could have saunas and baths, and Herod would go there and stay some, and they would live in royalty because they took care of that water. But it was very precious to them. And not a one of them, but what they realized what the value was of a drink, just a glass full of water. And so those people from that area would know what he's talking about in that relationship. The word thirst here means covet something. It means really desire something, really want something, long for something. When I was a little fellow, about 6, 7, 8 years of age, my daddy farmed in Louisiana, northeast part of Louisiana. And he had a front field and then a big swamp-like area with a break. And it would always be muddy through there. He could get the tractor through there. And my job would be to go over at a certain time of the day. Mother would fix a big jug of water with ice in it. And by the time I toddled all the way over there, it took me a good while to get over there and threw some rocks at some water moccasins, a few of those things, going through that bog, get over there to Daddy, that ice would be melted. He'd wear those old khaki shirts and pants and drive that tractor, and I'd maybe wait on him, and he'd come from way down the other end, and he'd be glad to see me and give me a hug. But boy, he'd grab that jug, and he'd just turn that jug up and guzzle more water than I thought a man could guzzle at one time. He would be perspiring, working out in that heat. And they didn't carry coolers and all that kind of thing with them back during that time. And boy, he'd drink that water. He was thirsty for that water. He wanted that water. Get a mental picture of what he really wanted. I can remember being in football practice and humidity about 110% in Louisiana. You have to have fish gills in order to breathe in that state, you know. And we'd have football practice, and man, run those wind sprints, the last thing, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. After a couple of hours of practice, man, you'd be so thirsty. And the first thing you'd want to do is get that helmet off and throw those shoulder pads off and run in there and find water as quickly as you could, maybe a water fountain, and drink all the water you could drink. Just drink, 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 because you were craving it, you wanted it, you were thirsty. Well, that's the idea of what he's talking about right here. We ought to thirst for righteousness, thirst for holiness, and crave for holiness. And by the way, there's nothing in the world that satisfies like water, is it? When I'm that thirsty, I don't care about Coca-Cola or Pepsi-Cola or any of the rest of it. I want water, because water is something that's going to quench your thirst more than anything else. And he says that's the idea we ought to have. G. Campbell Morgan said, "What is hunger and thirst after righteousness?" And he answers it by saying it is a divine, listen to this statement, it is a divine discontent with everything unlike God. A divine discontent with everything that is unlike God. Anything that isn't holy, anything that is not righteous, anything that is unlike God, it is saying that I do not want that in my life. A divine discontent with everything that is unlike God. Now, what did he say? Hunger and thirst. Happy, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after what? Righteousness. Well, what does he mean by righteousness? Well, actually, we're talking about holiness. How many of us desire tonight to be holy? I know we're justified and we're righteous in Christ, but I'm talking about in our life as believers, the way we live. How many of us covet and thirst and hunger to obey God and to please God and to do everything God wants us to do by the grace of God, at least try to do those things? The dictionary describes it this way: acting in accordance with divine and moral law. Acting in accordance with divine or moral law. That's a pretty good definition of it. It's goodness. That's what it is. It's uprightness. It's everything that the Bible says God is pleased with, and it's anything but that according to the Word of God. And let me ask you tonight, what do you thirst and hunger for? In your life and in my life, now just think about it a minute. What are you thirsting and hungering for? What are you craving? What drives you? What makes you do what you do every day of your life? What is it that causes you to expend that energy and that money and all the things that you do in your life? What is it that we are thirsting and hungering for? Is it really righteousness? It ought to be. I'm not talking about declared righteousness. I'm talking about the way we live. He that is thirsty and hungry and craves righteousness is going to be happy and be fulfilled. Do you really want to go to church? Well, the midweek crowd usually is a crowd that really wants to be there. Obviously, there are some who don't crave holiness or righteousness, so they might be here tonight, right? There are some that of course can't be here, but there are some that would be here if they really got this thing right here, because they would be craving that. How about serving God? Do you crave? Are you thirsty and hungry to serve Almighty God? That's what he's saying. We ought to have a thirst and a hunger in our hearts and in our lives to serve God. He's talking about bringing glory to God. Whose glory is it we're interested in? So many times it's my glory, and it's your own glory, it's our glory that we're interested in. We ought to crave the glory of Almighty God. We ought to want him to see him magnified and glorified and lifted up. More than anyone else in this world, we ought to want to see God glorified? Are we craving holiness in our life? Are we craving taking time to read this blessed book? Do we hunger for it? Do we really want to know this word and learn it and read it and memorize it and practice the very word of God? That's a craving for holiness. Do we crave prayer time? How many of us skipped our prayer time today? Or last week, half of the time, and we get away from that. Are we craving holiness? If we crave holiness and we're thirsty for righteousness, we are going to set aside a time by the grace of God every day of our lives to spend some time alone with God in prayer. And we will not get too busy to do that. I'm a busy man, but friend, you would tell me, preacher, if you're too busy to pray, you're too busy and we don't want you to be our pastor. That's exactly the way you'd feel about it. Well, I have the same right to say to you, and God does to all of us, that if we're too busy to pray, my friend, we're not hungering and thirsting and craving the righteous things that God has for us. The same would be true of purity. But here's what I'm afraid that some Christians are craving. One of the things is material gain. My soul, in America, we live in such a money-making, materialistic society, and that seems to be where all the thrust is. Make more money and can it and sit on the can and just keep it until we die. Money is the driving force of the life of a lot of God's people. They don't like to admit it, but it's the truth. If they just stop and think about it, material gain, material things, the pleasures of the world. Sometimes the thing that drives people is immorality. Oh yeah, in our churches like ours, Bible-believing, independent Baptist churches, there are people in our churches that immorality drives them. Pornography, adultery, fornication, some kind of sex sin in their lives, whatever it may be. They won't let go of it. They will not stop it. It's the thing that drives them in their lives because it's impurity. The Bible lists all those as deeds of the flesh and the others fruit of the Spirit. But these are just some of them. In some people's lives, it's alcohol or drugs or power or pleasure or getting even or vengeance or any of those other things. By the way, it's not always the negative things either. It's not always those things. We need to think about what the Word of God says about hunger and thirst after what? After what? Righteousness. How about soul winning? I think we ought to hunger and thirst after wanting to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, I don't know if we really are hungering and thirsting for that like we should. Then there's the promise that He gives us. If we are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, what is it? What is the promise? Number one, we'll be happy, but the latter part of the verse, for they shall be what? Filled. If you're hungry and thirsty, and you eat and drink, you're going to be filled. That makes sense. And that's exactly what He's talking about. You know those big meals we have at Thanksgiving? I love those. I enjoy those. And most of you do, I can tell. But at any rate, Thanksgiving meal, we have a big meal and you have the turkey and the dressing and the giblet gravy and the cranberry sauce. I don't know about that, but all those other things. And then nice rolls and butter. See, I'm making you hungry now. And all of that. And then the wife fixes some great desserts. My wife is a great cook. She doesn't cook as much as she used to now that the grandchildren are not hanging around. The children are gone. But she is a great cook. And she'll fix some of our favorite kinds of pies. And men will eat and drink the tea. And then maybe finish it off with coffee and dessert. And then she'll say, you want some more? Have some more. And I'll say, no, that's it. And you're not supposed to say this, but I always like to say it. I'm full. You know, I've had plenty. And that's enough. I don't want any more right now. Why? I was hungry. And I was really hungering for that meal. Boy, it looks so good. And I couldn't wait to cut the turkey and get into it. But once I ate it, I was satisfied. That's what God says will be true in our life about spiritual things. The same way we're thirsting, and that's the way it is. When we're filled with drink, I'd get through maybe with football practice, go in and drink and drink and drink, and all of a sudden, that was it. That's all I wanted. I drank until I got all I wanted. And that's what God is saying. If we desire and covet and are hungry and thirsty for living for God and doing the right thing, then we're going to be satisfied. We're going to be fulfilled in our hearts. And I tell you, I just believe there are a lot of God's people that don't understand that concept, that are not really desirous of that to the full. God tells us it is a strong thing that we ought to desire those things in our lives. Whenever we do, God says we're going to be satisfied. Now, keep in mind, you say, yeah, but I come back and eat again. Yeah, I know, on Thanksgiving Day, you eat the meal. And about 5 o'clock, you're back in there with some light bread and mayonnaise and some good old onions on that and some other things and putting some turkey on it, putting it together, getting a good glass of milk or whatever you drink, and finishing up the evening. You say, well, I thought you were satisfied. I was for a while. But you got to understand that what God is talking about here is an ongoing process. And by the way, it's a sign of being alive. It's a sign of being healthy. People that don't want to eat and they don't want to drink, if that goes on for a period of time, what do we assume? They're sick. And you'll say, oh, come on, you need to eat this. You'll get weak or you'll get weaker. You're sick. And so it is in the spiritual life the very same way. It's an ongoing process. We strive every day for holiness. We strive to live righteous before God. That's the only thing that'll give you peace in your soul after you're saved. And you go out and serve God, and then you realize there are times you need to grow. You need to step up another notch. You need to go a little higher. You need to continue growing in the Lord. And that's exactly what he's talking about. It is an ongoing process. In our lives, we are constantly trying to improve, constantly trying to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God wants us to be like. He says, be more like my son. But we'll never be like Jesus. We'll never carry out what God expects out of us until in our lives we learn to thirst and hunger after righteousness. That comes from our hearts. That comes from a desire to obey the Lord. Now here's one thing. The unsaved don't have that. You got to get saved before you can have that. I mean, a lost person's never going to have that. They may do a lot of things, but they'll never thirst and hunger for righteousness until they get saved and have the Lord in their heart. And by the way, this is one of the proofs that you are saved. People that say they're saved and there's no change in their life, they don't want to grow, they don't thirst, they don't hunger to be more like Christ, they don't care about all of those spiritual things, and I think something's wrong with whatever they got. But I believe once you get saved, my friend, it is your desire, above all other desires in this life, no matter what it may be, it is your desire, my desire, to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Holiness, righteousness, happy, blessed are those that thirst and hunger after righteousness, for they shall be filled, they shall be satisfied. And so that ought to be a constant yearning desire to be holy in our life. Now, if we would just see in our lives, if we would get just honest with God, and we would see the sin that is in our lives, then it's going to do something to us to make us desire after we admit it. That's why we have the other verses. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's all bringing you to the frame of mind to realize who you are, that you're a sinner, so that you can come to the place when you've recognized who you are, and what God has done for you. Then you have a desire to please God and to do what God wants you to do. And God promises if we thirst and hunger for righteousness, then he's going to fill us. And he'll fill us, and he'll fill us again, and he'll fill us again as we desire to live for God and to have holiness and righteousness and commitment to the cause of Christ. The songwriter said, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask, to be like him. Throughout life's journey from earth to glory, all I ask is to be like him. That's what God's talking about. A desire and a hunger for righteousness and holiness. Is that what you desire the most tonight in your life? Is that the very thing that means more to you than anything else? If so, then you're happy, you're satisfied, and God is going to fill you. But the minute we cease to feel that way, then we're going to be miserable Christians because we'll be out of the will of God. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Remember, the Beatitudes are for us, and God is challenging us to do what? Hunger and thirst after righteousness. You want to be happy? That's the main thing, to be in God's will. That's simply what he's saying. Hunger and thirst to be in God's will, to do everything God wants us to do by his grace. And when that begins, when we begin to fail in that, confess it, realize it, and get that hunger and thirst back where it belongs. Father, I pray tonight that you would help us to hunger just like we would if we had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Oh God, that we would have a hunger to serve you, to love you, and to be like Christ, and to be holy and righteous. God, help us to have a hunger and a thirst to get rid of any sin in our lives. Help us, oh Lord, to want to do what is right and to be filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit. God, may you just stir our souls that every day our desire, above all other desires, would be to please you. We love you and we thank you for the grace we have through Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.